Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. We are a team of expert doulas trained in supporting VBAC, have had VBACs of our own, and work extensively with VBAC women and their providers. We are here to provide detailed VBAC and cesarean prevention stories and facts in a simple, consolidated format. When we were moms preparing to VBAC, it was stories and information like we will be sharing in this podcast that helped fine-tune our intuition and build confidence in our birth preparation. We hope this does the same for you. To hear more about us and to hear our individual VBAC stories, be sure to check out episodes 1, 2, and 3. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other qualified medical professional. Happy Wednesday, everybody. This is Megan and Julie. We are in episode 30, and let me tell you what, we have an exciting episode for you. We have our friend Erin from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, sharing her VBAC story. Some fun things about her story is, or some unique, I should say, things about her story is that her contractions never even got closer than 7 minutes apart. You know, most people at 7 minutes apart are in pretty early, you know, early-ish active labor, not quite ready to deliver, but you're never going to believe what happened at the end of Erin's birth. I'm not even going to give it away. I want you guys to stick around and listen.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I am so excited. We have been trying to schedule this podcast recording for a very long time, and just scheduling between the three of us has just been a little bit tricky, and you are not going to want to miss this. Like, this is an awesome story.
It's a fun
Megan,
story.
Do you want to say something about unplanned unassisted? Do we want to say doula pounding on the door, or do you want to say something
about
that before?
I don't know. I feel like we kind of are hanging people on, and I feel like she should reveal it.
Okay, sounds good.
So, yes. All right, Erin, we are just going to open it up to you, and so we don't keep everyone waiting, because they are, I'm sure, like, hanging on right now with suspense, wanting to know what you are going to tell them. And we honestly can't wait to hear your full story either, because we've got some highlights, but we're dying to hear your full story. So,
I'm on the edge of my seat, like, literally.
Yeah.
On the edge of my seat, waiting
for you. Hold on tight.
All right, Erin, share away.
Okay, well, first of all, thanks for having me, ladies. I appreciate your flexibility with the scheduling. So, I always like, thank you. So, I always like to just share just a little quick recap of my first pregnancy. So, I had a cesarean section with my daughter, who was my first, because she was in a breech position, for she was frank breech, and was unable to get her to flip, and also didn't have any providers either who were, you know, either willing or able to offer any sort of vaginal breech delivery options. So I ended up having my daughter after spontaneous labor, even though it was a cesarean. I was only in labor a few hours, about 4 hours from the time of my first contraction ping that I felt that woke me up to my arrival at the hospital. I dilated to 8 centimeters. So it was a bittersweet experience, because I really was looking forward to the labor and birth, and really didn't want to have a C-section, but also, I feel like having that experience of labor was also kind of a positive thing that made me feel like my body wasn't entirely broken and knew what to do. And even though she wasn't in the right position, I very much felt like the next time around I would be at a good starting point. So I took the silver lining out of the situation, and pretty much as soon as I had my cesarean, I already knew that I wanted to learn as much as possible about vaginal birth after cesarean, and you know, if I was a good candidate, I really wanted to pursue that route. So about, my daughter was about a year and a half old or so when we conceived my son, and I had been with an obstetric group at the time, and I really kind of had just started to do some more research. It was all spurred by seeing the documentary, The Business of Being Born, which I hadn't seen before my daughter was born, and that kind of just opened the floodgates of my research into birth and labor. From there, I read a lot of books. I discovered ICANN. I, you know, got some good advice from some ladies in there. I got a hold of my surgical and my operative report from my cesarean, and essentially just started doing my due diligence in terms of asking the questions that I needed, you know, to be asking in order to find a really supportive provider. So in the end, I switched from an obstetric group to a group of certified nurse midwives that worked in the same hospital where I had my daughter. But they had a very different practice style and, you know, great VBAC success rates and just all around, you know, good stats for folks like me who are seeking vaginal birth after cesarean. So pretty much it was, you know, it was a complication-free pregnancy, just like my first. I, you know, kind of continued doing everything, and I did a lot more work in terms of just preparing my body, making sure baby was in a good position as much as I could. Started doing prenatal yoga twice a week, did a lot more meditation and kind of some of that emotional healing that came with the cesarean. And then, you know, getting closer towards the end of my pregnancy, you know, everything was looking good. And I, you know, throughout the whole process, I felt like I really had supportive care. I never had any pushback from the midwives, or never got a sense that they were starting to maybe have their doubts at any point. So it was kind of an opportunity to really kind of reclaim some of the control that I felt I had lost from my last experience. One of the really, I think, empowering things for me was getting towards the end of pregnancy. You know, I declined all the cervical exams and checks, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but I just found myself in a really good mental and emotional space, and kind of knew the evidence on what those checks would provide in terms of information and how that might benefit me or not benefit me. And it was really empowering to kind of, you know, be able to kind of make a, you know, really, really informed decision about something as simple or silly as someone might think is a cervical check. But so I never knew, you know, throughout the end of my pregnancy, if I was ever even dilated or how dilated I was before labor started. And one of the kind of, I think, neat kind of anecdotes that I remember from the very end of that pregnancy too was, it was probably about my 40-week appointment, and I remember one of the nurse midwives offered to give me a script for, I think it was an NST or a biophysical profile that I would have used if I had gotten to 41 weeks and hadn't had the baby. I remember her asking me if I wanted it now so that I would just have it on hand. And I remember thinking, you know, I could take it and have it, and that would be convenient, but I also didn't want that hanging over me mentally. I felt like having that would in some way possibly kind of implant some doubt in me. And I didn't want to be fixated on a date. I didn't want to worry about that. And I knew that going to 41 weeks wasn't necessarily a reason for concern either. So again, it was like one of those other kind of reclaiming of the process and saying thanks, but no thanks. You know, if we'll cross that bridge when we get there if we need to, and I will ask you for it when I need to. And they were totally fine with that. So that was really, you know, I think that spoke a lot about their practice style and how supportive they were. So let's see. So my due date was actually on Thanksgiving Day. So we had a lot of family in town, and there was a lot of anticipation. And my brother is actually, his birthday, the year that he was born, was actually Thanksgiving Day as well. So there's kind of this little part of me that was like, oh, it would be really funny if, you know, my son was born on Thanksgiving, and then my brother also had the year that he was born a Thanksgiving birthday. But, of course, I knew the chances were slim since most babies don't come on their due date, and he was no exception. So Thanksgiving came, and due date came and went, and I was feeling good. I mean, I was feeling ready to have him. My body definitely felt very lived in, and I was kind of ready for him to evacuate. So, but mentally and emotionally, I still felt, you know, very strong, and I wasn't worried about going post date there. So, it would have been about 3 days after my due date. I woke up at about 3:30 in the morning. I woke up feeling like a contraction ting. It's funny because in my first child, I woke up like right around the same time. It was about 3 in the morning, and I had felt that ping, and it just made me think, oh, this could maybe be something. So I got up, and I started to just time, and they were kind of all over the place, you know, 20 minutes, 15, 8, 10. It was, you know, there was no consistent pattern. So I timed them for about an hour. And then at that point, I texted my doula, since I could tell it, you know, it was probably early, but it could be something, but it could also fizzle out. So we talked. She suggested I got a glass of water and lay down, and she was right. So my contractions did eventually just kind of fizzle out. So I went back to bed for a few hours. So that was at about 6 a.m. And then I got up again at about 8:30 in the morning and just kind of woke up to start the day. And contractions started back up pretty shortly after I woke up that morning, so between about 8:30 or 9. But they were very mild, like very mild period cramps is how I would describe them. And they were coming about every 30 minutes or so. Yeah, I wasn't really sure at that point if it was going to be more of, you know, just the night before, or if they would actually turn into something. So knowing how it goes, I just kind of decided to go about my day, and we were just going to do our thing and see where it went. So at about 9 or so in the morning, I spoke on the phone with my doula. We just kind of chatted and did a quick recap of the night before and just agreed to, you know, to stay in touch. And we got up and got ready for the day. We decided that we wanted to go out and get some brunch since it was a Sunday. And we love going out for brunch. That's our favorite meal of the week. So we left the house at about 1 o'clock, and we got to our favorite brunch spot a little after 1:30. There were still, yeah, about every 30 minutes or so, maybe a little bit more frequently by that point. And by the time we started to eat, which was about 2 o'clock, they were starting to become a little bit more uncomfortable. I remember sitting at brunch just kind of like one would come, and I just kind of wiggle in my seat, kind of shimmy a little bit, but I wouldn't say that they were painful at that point. They were just maybe a little bit more. I just wasn't able to ignore them as much. And I spoke again with my doula then shortly after and told her at that point I had timed a few or I timed one maybe, and they were about 15 minutes apart at that time. They were lasting a minute, so they were getting longer than they were earlier that morning when I initially woke up. So we realized there was a steady pattern, and so I was probably in early labor. So we decided on just finishing up brunch, and she suggested that I take a walk to see if they continued on in that pattern or if they fizzled out or what. So we left brunch at about 2:45, and we kind of took our time to get to the car. We just did like a quick walk around the block, and it was fall. It was the end of November, so it was like a really beautiful, it was like kind of a very cool day, but it was very sunny, and it was just really pretty. So we decided that we were going to go up to a nearby reservoir and park to take a walk. So we got there probably about 3:15, and we just started walking around the reservoir and feeding the ducks and, you know, just trying to kill some time. And they were starting to get more painful, and I remember as we got there starting to have to, like, kind of stop more and kind of lean over or kind of hunch over. I'd kind of put my hands on my knees and just kind of lean forward. So yeah, they were starting to become a little bit more painful. So at that point, I kind of told my husband, like, I kind of wanted him to go ahead with my daughter because they were starting to get a little bit more intense. I didn't want her to worry per se. So I just kind of hung back and let them lead the way. From the reservoir, there was a little park nearby, a play area. So we went over that way, and while my husband was playing with my daughter at the park, I just kind of went off on my own, just kind of roaming around a little bit. And the contractions were starting to get definitely a lot more intense. And I remember kind of one would come, and I was just kind of like leaning. I'd lean over a play structure or where the swings were there, you know, I'd lean into the supports that were planted into the ground. And I definitely knew at that point, I don't think this is like, you know, I don't think this is like prodromal labor or anything. Like, I think this is, you know, this is the real thing. At that point, gosh, they were probably between 11 and 12 minutes apart at that time. If I remember back, I had an app, so I was timing them as they were coming and going at that point. And I think they were somewhere in between there. So, I was texting my doula, telling her, where they were at. And, it was kind of at that point where I felt that I didn't want to be at the park anymore. I can't really explain. It was just this, like, I can't be here. I don't want to be out with people around. So I told my husband around like 3:45. I said, hey, like, I'm going to go wait in the car. I think we need to go home. I can't be out here anymore. So I went to the car, and while I was waiting in the car, I remember, you know, I was still texting my doula, and at one point I remember I had to get out of the car and open the door and just kind of had to squat, kind of holding on to the frame of the car at the foot of the door, because I just had to kind of moan through it and kind of hold on to something and move around. So yeah, it was definitely getting more intense at that point. And I'd say by the time my husband got my daughter, like, got her back to the car, got her loaded in and everything, we probably left the park around like 4:15 or so. We headed home, and at that time contractions, I was timing them, they were about 9 to 10 minutes apart at that point. So we got home around 4:30. And my husband had to run upstairs really quickly to use the bathroom before he came back down, because since they were about 9 to 10 minutes apart, we were talking on the way back, and the plan was to leave my daughter with a cousin of mine who was going to watch her when we were going to go to the hospital to have the baby. But my daughter hadn't napped that day, and I, you know, didn't want to necessarily leave her with my cousin, with her, you know, being, you know, sleep deprived and, you know, maybe a little bit more fussy than usual. So my husband and I agreed, like, he would take my daughter out for like a little drive to see if he could get her to fall asleep in the car while I got home. And I was just going to finish packing up the last few things that were on our list for the hospital that I couldn't have packed away already, because I was still using them. So we agreed on that. So once he left, which is probably about like 4:45, I headed straight upstairs, and I just started like getting changed, and I remember putting on like a little bit of makeup because that's, you know, so important whenever you're about to give birth.
Totally,
you know?
Important. Hey. I was still drying my hair for my second or for my first VBAC, insisting I was still going to make it to my sister-in-law's wedding.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a part of your brain when you're in labor that's just like, you're not really thinking rational. Like,
oh yeah.
I think even when you're in, like, you're clearly in active labor, there's like this denial that you're even in labor. But anyways,
it's so true.
Yeah. So I was like getting the last few things ready, and I was still texting with my doula. Gosh, I started having like really intense contractions. So I called my doula at a, 4:56, and I told her I was having really strong contractions, and they were about 7 to 8 minutes apart. I remember feeling at that point when we were talking, she asked me how I was feeling emotionally, and I remember in that moment having just having that slightest feeling of doubt. And I, looking back after everything, I'm fairly certain that's when I was in transition, because I felt so mentally strong the entire pregnancy and the entire labor, that to me was like just telling, in the sense that I wasn't maybe as strong as I felt I had been. And so I just was feeling a little bit pushy, and I knew at that point that, I mean, even the fact that I called her because I was feeling like I couldn't text anymore. Like, I just knew, like, I can't text message. Like, I need to talk, you know, on the phone. So that was another sign to me, I think, in retrospect, that I was probably in transition at that point. And so she essentially suggested that, like, we get our daughter, like, get her going to wherever she needed to go, and that we, like, start, like, preparing to, you know, to head to the hospital. So as soon as I hung up with her, you know, I kind of knew that's what we were going to do. But before I was able to make, that phone call to my cousin, I remember I had, like, I kind of turned off some of the lights and put on these, like, Christmas lights that we had up as more of, like, ambiental lighting. And I just was going to take a minute to kind of just do a last little, like meditation, like kind of just little pep talk to myself and, like, kind of gather my thoughts. As soon as I turned on some music and turned off the lights, I had this, like, crazy strong contraction. It was, like, incredibly intense. And I remember I was in my living room at the time, and I was leaning on a birth ball and kind of also leaning over the couch going between the two. This monster contraction came, and all of a sudden I felt like this little trickle, and then all of a sudden I felt just a huge gush. And it was, you know, it was my water, it was my mucus plug, it was everything all at once. So it was really intense. You know, it was like, you know, definitely one of the most intense feelings I've ever had. And so my water broke at 5:27 p.m. And I can say that with with confidence, because as soon as it broke, I had my phone, like, very close to me on the couch, and I was able to reach for it. And I called my doula. And luckily, she literally lived, like, just a few blocks from my house. I told her the water broke and, like, the baby was coming, and she, you know, she could sense the panic, obviously, in my voice. So she said she would be there, like, immediately. So after I hung up with her, I called my husband twice, and there was no answer. So I called my cousin, and she was like shopping at Sam's Club or something in the, you know, the middle of a Sunday afternoon. And I, you know, I'm sure that was the last call she was expecting. And I told her basically, like, my water broke and, like, he's coming. Like, and she said she, you know, she just abandoned ship in the store and raced down the highway. So, yeah, I feel bad. I still owe her for that. But, you know, the feeling was incredibly intense. And when I had had that contraction that broke my water, it literally was so powerful that it caused me to, like, guide myself down to the floor. So I had just put myself into a side lying position. So I was laying on my right hand side with my elbow kind of propping me up and my left leg open. And I didn't think, you know, like, logically about that. That just happened to be the position that felt the best to me in terms of just taking the edge off of the intensity. And obviously at that point, everything is intense, and there's, you know, there's nothing that you can do to find, like, complete relief. But it just, it just seemed to take a little bit of the edge off. And, you know, I wasn't trying to hold him back, and I wasn't trying to push him out. I was just trying to buy some time. So I was just kind of hanging out there, and you know, when my water broke, I mean, I definitely had a moment of panic, mostly because it was just such an intense feeling to feel everything inside of you literally shift down. But once I, you know, had talked to my doula and once I had talked to my cousin, and I knew obviously they must have been trying to get a hold of my husband as well. I remember having a moment where I just told myself, like, Erin, you got to just get it together. Like, you got to get it together. And just like, okay, like everyone, you've called everyone, like people will be here, you know, like you got to keep it together for your baby, you know, like you got to be clear-minded, like he needs you. And I remember just thinking like, okay, like he's probably going to come. And I knew that because I literally reached my hand down and I could feel his head. Like I could
oh
feel
my
him.
Gosh.
So he was crowning. So I knew like, okay, like they're not, no one's going to make it in time, but you know, it just like, you know, there was no getting out of it. So, and it's funny cause I do remember, even though I was planning, my plan all along through pregnancy had been to go drug free. And, you know, I wanted a physiologic birth and wanted as minimal intervention as necessary. I remember thinking at that moment, like, I get why women might want an epidural, you know, like, I get it. Like, you know, so it was like one of those experiences. It's like, all right, like you have a little more compassion for people, a little more understanding. So, you know, it's weird again, because like, even when it was happening and even afterward, like I would never say that even the feeling was painful. It was just really intense. And I've heard a lot of
yes.
women describe that as intensity, but it's just the word I can never, like, it always comes off my tongue because I can't think of any other word that better describes it. It's just a lot of pressure and that, but it wasn't necessarily painful. But anyway, so I could feel his head there. And so I kind of, you know, was trying to like think back to my breathing from my yoga and just try to calm down and take some like cleansing breaths. All of a sudden my body just started to like push. And I know a lot of people liken it to vomiting in terms of like the physicality of like this involuntary feeling. And I hate to compare it to that as well, but that is what it felt like. There was no stopping it. Even if you tried, it was my body just pushing, and it would push for just a few seconds and let go. You know, it was a very, very short pushes, and they were spacing out. So it was interesting because I was like getting these moments of like rest, and then it was just like my body was like, all right, let's go again. And I think, you know, my body pushed maybe two or three times total. So two more times after that first one, he just like flew out. Like I remember thinking like, oh my goodness. I can't believe that just happened. Like, I don't even remember feeling pain. Like he just slipped out like a little fish. And I was laying on a carpet, so he just like landed very softly, and he came out crying immediately. And I just remember yelling like, "I got you, I got you." And if I back up a little bit, the part of the story that I forgot to mention was that when I called my doula, I told her that, you know, that she could ring any of my neighbors' doorbells to get into the building. And she did do that. But then when she got up to my actual door, she went to go open, and I didn't realize it, but it was still locked. I hadn't unlocked the door. And so as my body was starting to take that very first push, she started banging on the door, and I remember her saying, Erin, like, you got to let me in. Like, the door's locked. And I remember yelling at her, like, there is no way I can't get up. Like, it's just, I can't. And then I remember just, like, it was really crazy. I mean, you know, it was like my brain just kind of, like, tuned out, and I just, like, stopped registering the words that she was speaking, even though I could hear noise, but, like, I just wasn't. You know, I wasn't registering, you know, what she was saying. And she was just there. I mean, within like, it was within maybe 10, 20 seconds, he was born. You know, as soon as, you know, he came out and I saw him and I yelled, "I got you, I got you." And I picked him up. Then I could hear I kind of like came back to it. And then I remember my doula saying, you know, Erin, whenever you can, like, please get up and, you know, open the door, you know, very calmly. And so like, I remember, you know, picking him up and holding him so close. And I remember I was just soaking wet. I was so wet from all the amniotic fluid. And I literally remember like standing up with him in my arms and wiping my feet as much as I could because we had hardwood floors. And I remember thinking like, I didn't want to drop him because it was so slippery, you know? And so I got up and went to the door and opened the door and just very quickly, like, opened it and turned right back around to go lay down with him. I mean, my doula came in and was like, oh my goodness, she was shocked, but she also was, you know, I mean, she was incredibly proud of me, and, like, she kept telling me, you know, I was a rock star, and, like, very encouraging, you know, very encouraging words. And she, you know, got a lot of pillows off the couch and like laid them down for me on the carpet so I could lay down. And obviously, you know, she's not medically trained at all to do, you know, any sort of assessments or that, but, you know, being around birth, at least she knew kind of what to look for. So like she checked down, you know, just checked under the blanket I was covered with just to make sure like she didn't notice any sort of like, you know, excessive bleeding or hemorrhage or anything. And I really wasn't bleeding, other than just from whatever came from like the bloody show. I mean, the paramedics were already on the way. She had my neighbors call them whenever she got there and couldn't open the door. And, so they were on the way and, she was, you know, incredibly supportive. And I was so glad that I hired her at that moment. I was like, wow. And, I remember when I was interviewing doulas, I almost hired a doula that I really clicked well with and really liked, and she had a lot of like VBAC client experience. She lived like an hour away from me, and there was something about that that just made me nervous. And even with my first labor, even though I had a C-section, like it progressed quickly, and there was something in that that just made me feel like, I don't know, I think I need someone closer. Like what if there's a storm? What if there's something? And so go figure, like, you know, I hired the doula that lived like five blocks from me, and, you know, I think everything happens for a reason. So, so she was great. So she was just, you know, helping, you know, cover me up. You know, she helped me obviously we got baby on the breast, and, we were, you know, just keeping him close, skin to skin. And she was really great at trying to kind of mentally prepare me for what might happen. So she kind of told me like, okay, so, you know, the paramedics are on the way. We don't necessarily know, you know, how people are going to react. So I just, you know, let's just, you know, like be prepared. Like people might be a little bit worried, but we're very lucky though. Like the first responders that arrived were incredibly calm and like professional. And they weren't walking into like a disaster. I mean, it was unexpected, but, everything was under control in terms of, you know, I was fine, baby was fine. And, you know, it was very quiet inside. The lights were off. There was like relaxing, you know, ambience lighting. And, you know, so, I'm sure that, you know, that played a big part in it. But afterward, they did tell me that they, in the last year, they attended of like five births or something. So they had a little bit of experience also with these sorts of situations. So they were really compassionate and understanding, and they were just really lovely, and it made such a difference. And I know I've heard of other women having like unplanned home births or things like, you know, happening that were unexpected, unattended births. And unfortunately, a lot of times women don't get treated very nicely, or there's some sort of strange, I don't know, some sort of strange backlash at them or blame for things that happen like this. And they definitely, you know, we're not like that. So, it was really great. They checked over baby and me. I mean, we were great. I mean, he was so alert and incredibly pink, and just, he looked great. So, the first responders got there, and then I think my cousin got there a few minutes after them. And then I think my husband was the last to arrive with my daughter. And as soon as he got home, that was like right when she fell asleep. So he actually had to take her out of the car seat, and she was still tucked. She was still sleeping on him when he got to the house or got to our apartment. And he walked in the front door. And my doula is also a birth photographer, and I had hired her for both of her services. So she snapped some pictures, and there's one of my daughter sleeping on my husband's shoulder when they first walked in. And I love that picture. It's like you can't really see my husband's full face, but you can just see like the expression from his profile, like his smile lines from his eyes. And I feel like it says so much about that moment without like explicitly showing it, you know? So then within a few minutes, my daughter like kind of woke up and was a little fuzzy and hazy and like looking around. And luckily everyone was calm. So she didn't seem scared or distressed. And, we asked her like, "Hey, do you want to meet your brother?" And I remember hearing her little voice saying, "Yeah," like I just could see her looking at him. It was really surreal. Like it was incredibly surreal. So they got me loaded on the gurney. So my son was born at, my doula had clocked like 5:35 is the time he was born. And I was loaded onto the ambulance about 6:15, and we headed to the hospital. Yeah, as soon as I got there, luckily, I was greeted by a team there, you know, at the ER, and everyone was very calm and, yeah, no, very kind and, you know, very understanding. And, yeah, they looked us both over, and we were good. I still hadn't delivered my placenta yet, but while I was in the ambulance on the way there, I could feel the after pain. And I really wanted to birth it, but laying flat on my back was, it wasn't conducive to that. So I remember feeling like, oh, I got to get this thing out because, like, I didn't feel completely relieved, you know, until then. So once we got to the hospital and they did a quick look over, they transferred us over to it would have been a labor and delivery room. While they were transferring me from the gurney to the hospital bed, I kind of like leaned over to get a little bit of leverage and just pop that placenta right out. And that was like the biggest feeling of relief. Like I felt like, okay, oh, like I'm finally done. So that was like kind of a neat, you know, little piece to it, since I don't think people really always think about birthing the placenta. They just think about the baby. And then, kind of got a look over by the attending OB there. I did have a minor first degree tear. It was bleeding a little bit, so they put in a few sutures. But honestly, I didn't think it was that bad for me. I thought like the little local anesthetic was worse than the actual suturing. So, and I would have said the same thing about my spinal when I had my cesarean. I thought the local was like worse than the actual insertion of the needle. But yeah, it was, I wonder if, you know, the side lying position was, you know, partly due to the, you know, to the keeping my perineum intact, or if it was, you know, the spontaneous pushing instead of pushing, you know, when I wasn't necessarily feeling an urge or my body wasn't ready. But it probably, I guess, was a combination of, you know, a lot of different factors, including those. So yeah, it was a whirlwind. It was, you know, I had initially planned a hospital-based birth with midwives and wanted very little intervention, but I did not plan, like, to have an unassisted birth or an unattended birth. But it's funny because, like, there was part of me in all the preparing that I did, just in all the resources I read, and, I mean, I watched so many birth videos, too. Like, on YouTube, I would, you know, watch births, and just from my own searching, it seemed like most of the births that I watched were either birth center births or home births, because it just seemed as though most people who are filming birth tend to, you know, be giving birth in one of those two settings more so maybe than hospital. So even though I had, like, hadn't been planning a home birth, I think there was like this little part of me that was like, someday I might like to have a home birth, or like maybe I wish, you know, if circumstances were different, that maybe, you know, like that could have been an option for me. It's weird, but I really do feel like, you know, and it's just my own personal belief, like I almost feel like the universe was like, you're meant to have this experience. And like, you're not necessarily, like, you may not necessarily be in the place where you're going to make that decision, but, like, this is just supposed to be in the cards for you. That's, like, almost like how I felt. Like, it was, like, the universe deciding that, like, this needed to be put in my path. Like, it needed to happen this way. It was really surreal because, you know, even though I was, again, like I said, I wasn't planning to give birth at home, like, after the initial panic of, like, my water breaking and, like, that intense shift inside, I wasn't panicked in the sense of, like, oh, my God, I'm at home. Like, all these million gazillion things could happen and, like, you know, my, you know, uterus could rupture and all that, you know. It was, like, I had done so much research that I knew what the risks were, but I wasn't, you know, I was okay with that. Like, I had already determined that, like, those risks were acceptable to me. And so I wasn't hung up mentally on those things. And I think that a lot of times, too, in a VBAC, I think people can, you know, can get stuck or held back at certain points if, you know, if they have that mental block or they're anxious about something or, you know, they can't get past certain fears that can kind of interfere physiologically. So I feel like, you know, just having watched all those home births and birth center births that, you know, it wasn't like a foreign concept to me that like people might have their babies at home, or it wasn't weird to me that people would want to have their babies at home, you know, or in a birth center. So yeah, it worked out. And, you know, I would never plan an unintended birth even after my VBAC, but luckily things worked out well and we were all healthy and safe. And, I kind of got the outcome, you know, I was looking for. So yeah, it was crazy. And then, that whole experience, I think just the process of preparing for the VBAC, I mean, that really, like, that set me on this path of, like, I just kept learning more and more and, like, had to know more and more. And everything I read and watched, it just kept leading me to more and more resources and information. And then by the time that I had my son and I was, like, freshly postpartum, like, I just knew. I was like, I have to do something with this passion. Like, it was just, like, the tip of the iceberg, you know. It's like I got this, like, taste of birth, and I was like, I hadn't done something in so long that I felt so passionate about. And so then over like the last, I guess, year and a half, 2 years, I started trying to figure out like how I could maybe, you know, get involved more and do something in birth work. So I, back in January of this year, I took a Lamaze teacher childbirth education seminar locally here. And then I sat for the exam at the end of April of this year. And I found out in June that I passed my test. And so as of June of this year, I became a Lamaze certified childbirth educator. And so I'm now, I just picked up a new gig and I'm starting to look to take on my first client. So I'm super excited that I can work this into my life and, you know, do something I'm really passionate about and hopefully, you know, work with families. And, of course, I have a very special spot in my heart for, you know, for moms interested in learning more about vaginal birth after cesarean and hopefully can, you know, connect them to information so that they can weigh all their options and make the best decision for them. And have good, happy, you know, fulfilling, empowering, healthy, you know, birth outcomes and experiences. So it's definitely right. Been a journey.
Yeah, I would say. I can't imagine being the doula on the other side of the door.
Oh my gosh, right?
Hearing everything happening on the inside and not being able to get in.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure she probably went home and had a drink after that. But I do know that she had her own pretty, like, precipitous birth experiences herself. So
she was probably very calm in that situation.
She was. Again, like, you know, it wasn't a completely foreign concept to her that this could potentially happen to someone. So I think that gave her some perspective. And, she had the touch that I needed at that moment. So,
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing when you're just talking about, you know, how they really weren't getting that close, you know, they were strong. It reminded me of when Julie was sharing her story, because she, with one of her babies, like, she also, I can't remember exactly the time, but it was like longer, like 6 to 8 minutes or something like that. Is that right, mm-hmm. Julie?
Yeah, so it was my second VBAC. My first VBAC mm-hmm. was like totally textbook labor. But my second uh-huh. VBAC, like, she caught me off guard in so many ways. And like mm-hmm. my water broke at 37 weeks before wow. labor started. And then labor started a few hours after that. And then, you know, I was just trying to go about life like you do. Mm-hmm. And yeah. then I'm finally like, okay, I need to just like lay down and hope labor just like starts. I feel like sometimes you can like do too much and labor's like, oh, mm-hmm. wait a minute. Like, are we ready? I'm not sure if we're ready. And so I'm right. like, okay, I'm going to lay down and let my body know that we're ready. And if not, then I can at least take a nap. And so I'll yeah. be well rested. And so I laid down and my contractions were like 10 minutes apart. And I was laying down, and I remember it was a Saturday, and my husband was working, like, right outside of our bedroom door. He has a desk, and it's, like, attached to the wall. It's, like, a weird setup. But anyways, mm-hmm. so I was on my bed laying down. I was, like, all alone for the first time that day. And, like, I sent my doula home. I'm, like, you know, I just don't think things are going to happen right now. So I go mm-hmm. out to my bed, and I lay down, and then all of a sudden, like, as soon as I lay down, and I just, like, rested and closed my eyes, like, I felt like a really strong contraction. I'm like, oh my gosh, that contraction was stronger. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 10 minutes later, another strong one comes on, and I'm like, okay, things are maybe picking up. Mm-hmm. And then the next one doesn't come for 20 minutes.
Wow.
20 minutes. And I was like, oh, heck, I am not in labor. Like, ugh. I'm just going to try and go to sleep. So I went to sleep. And then they were coming, like, 9 to 10 minutes apart. And then, like, wow. I started getting on my hands and knees because, like, being on my back was too much to handle. So I get on my hands and knees, and I started vocalizing. And, like, my husband, like, pops his head in the door. And he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm just in labor. Go back to work. And like, I'm just like, I'm just trying to get my contractions close together so I can actually call my birth team. And then, you know, it goes on like that for another hour. So he pops his head back in. Do you need some extra support? No, my contractions are still so far apart. There's no way I'm even in active labor right now. And so then like a couple more times of that, like I just could not stand my back. I could not stay quiet. Like I had to make noise, you know, those like mm-hmm. labor noises. And then I was like, gosh, I'm like, if I was my own doula, what would I say to myself? And then I would say to myself, self, don't go based on how far apart they are. Go based on how they're feeling. And mm-hmm. then I was like arguing with myself, but I'm like, yeah, but they're like 9 minutes apart. And then I'm like, but really they're intense. You can feel them. And, like, then by that time, my doula texted me to check it. I'm like, well, you might as well just come because call the midwife. Call the midwife came. And was like, she can just check me and tell me I'm, like, 3 centimeters. And then everyone can go home and come back in the morning. And, like, I was so sure. And the midwife gets there and my doula gets there. And they check the heart tones. And my baby was super low. And my midwife's like, you might want to call your videographer because if it's going to take her more than 45 minutes to get here, she probably won't make it. And I'm like, but my contractions are like 8 minutes apart. Like, I just didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she was born about less than an hour later. And I pushed for like 14 minutes. It was like, it was nothing. But even then, until the last 15 minutes, my contractions were still 6 to 7 minutes apart.
Crazy. Yeah.
It was insane. I'm like, nobody tells you.
Yeah.
If I would have waited till my contractions were 5 minutes apart, I would have had an unassisted
home. You would have had an unassisted home birth, yeah.
So everybody, lesson learned. If you cannot talk through them, call your birth team or go to the hospital. Period. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Then all of us other people will be very jealous of the fact that your contractions were 6 to 7 minutes apart, and you were in active labor. Got a nice little break.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Erin, seriously, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We are excited that we could get together and hear your awesome story.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the space to share, and I hope that that my story, you know, connected with, you know, someone or, you know, some folks out there who are, you know, on their journey. So
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, me too.
Hey, guys, did you know we have a new website? Well, we do. It is thevbacklink.com. We are always looking for new stories. To share your story and possibly be on our podcast, post your story on social media and hashtag #WhyWeVBack and tag us at thevbacklink. Or you can complete the new form on our brand new website at thevbacklink.com/share. Don't forget about our online VBAC prep courses. To learn more, head over onto our website.
Be sure to rate us and share and leave your reviews. We are excited to hear what you think. For families local to Utah, be sure to check out our website, utahvbaclink.com, for more information on our VBAC childbirth classes and doula services. Thank you so much for listening. We are excited for you to begin your journey with us.